in this week's market update. Markets are boosted by a lower for longer rates outlook as the inflation question remains unanswered. Some strange things are happening in financial markets today. Inflation is taking off like it's the 1970s all over again. Central banks are threatening to tighten policy quicker and harder than expected, but bond yields remain on the floor and shares are close to record levels. It's as if investors just don't believe what they're seeing and hearing. They think that whatever the Fed might say about tapering its bond purchases and then raising interest rates, they just won't be able to follow through when push comes to shove. Lower for longer rates will continue to make the case for holding shares, investors believe. Maybe that's because with debts at historically unprecedented levels all around the world, we're locked into a low interest rate world for the foreseeable future. That's why in the US, 10-year bond yields are at 1.5%, while inflation is above 6%. It's why you'll soon be able to lock in a 40-year mortgage here in the UK for less than 4%. It's why shares remain the only game in town. Does it make sense for shares to be on a tear in this environment? Yes, within reason. Even if inflation falls back to 3% from here, real bond yields will remain in negative territory for as far as the eye can see. Against that backdrop, the higher yield and inflation-proofing characteristics of shares should remain attractive. So, the only question then is whether they've overshot, with the S&P 500 now 118% above its March 2020 low. If you compare the US market's rally over the past 18 months to all the other bull markets over the past 100 years, it's bigger and faster than any except the recovery from the 1929 crash. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's gone too far too fast, because when you look at what's happened to corporate earnings, it's possible to justify the rapid advance for the stock market. The movement in valuations has been bang in line with previous rallies, an initial multiple-led surge followed by an earnings-driven mid-cycle growth phase. So, average earnings for the S&P 500 now stand at $189. That's well above the $163 pre-pandemic peak and puts the market at 4,700 on 25 times earnings. High, but not top of the market excessive. And investors are being well rewarded by a combination of near-record dividend payouts and rising share buybacks. Many people are talking about exuberant markets, and there are certainly signs of excess in some corners of the market, such as cryptocurrencies. But this is typical of the later stages of bull markets. It's a reminder of the mid-1990s when Fed Chair Alan Greenspan warned of irrational exuberance, but markets continued rising for another 4 years. The biggest sign of the top of the market, however, is when investors stop worrying. My comments here may be just an example of this complacency. Another recent example is a Bank of America survey of fund managers, which showed that two-thirds believe inflation is just a transitory concern, despite the mounting evidence to the contrary. On the subject of inflation, that debate continues to rage with plausible arguments on both sides. The team transitory argument goes like this. Inflation is about tight supply, which has failed to keep pace with demand as the pandemic recovery has got underway. Once these bottlenecks are cleared, prices will stop rising and will probably fall back again. Other issues like rising energy prices are one-offs due to storage issues and even a lack of wind in the autumn. And that's why Christine Lagarde, the head of the ECB, said last week that central banks should not rush into premature tightening when faced with passing or supply-driven price rises. The other side of the argument is also compelling, however. It says that there's actually been a massive increase in demand, some of it from consumers, some of it from high-spending governments. The risk is that price rises as a result of this demand pull become entrenched and start to influence wage bargaining, just as they did 50 years ago. The key period to look at is actually not the 1970s, when the inflation genie was already out of the bottle, but the 1960s, when the situation looked very much like it does today, and policymakers made the mistake of thinking that inflation was a short-term issue. This is not a time to be complacent about inflation. Attention will be focused on the key central bank, America's Federal Reserve, this week, where minutes of its last rate-setting meeting are released. But Richard Clarida, the Fed's number two, has already hinted in recent days that its planned monetary tightening schedule may need to be accelerated. He said on Friday that the pace of winding down the Fed's bond buying program was on the agenda for the next meeting in December. Earlier this month, the Fed said that it would reduce its $120 billion a month bond purchases by about $15 billion a month. That implies the end of the program next summer, opening the door to rate hikes from the middle of 2022. If that pace is stepped up, then the moment when interest rates start to rise could be brought forward too. Also in the spotlight this week is the ECB, which also issues minutes this week. Now, Europe is in a very different place than the US, with much lower inflation still and a raging resurgence of COVID in many countries. For now, the ECB remains rightly cautious, but it too faces all the same supply chain and energy price pressures. The central bank may find its hand is forced too. Of course, markets can be self-correcting. The fear of lockdowns in Europe is one factor taking the edge off the oil price this week. Brent crude is back below $80 a barrel as investors price in reduced economic activity and easier supplies. Also on the back foot over the past couple of weeks has been the previously red-hot crypto market. Bitcoin fetched $67,000 a fortnight ago. Today, it's changing hands for $57,000. But all these worries are in the background for equity investors, especially in certain more cyclical sectors like banks, which are on track to record their best year since the financial crisis. The MSCI Bank Sector Index has risen by 30% so far this year, faster than the 20% rise in global markets as a whole. That's the best performance since 2009, when bank shares rose by a third in the wake of the crisis. Again, it's a combination of releasing bad debt provisions, rising interest rate expectations, which widen profit margins, and booming M&A activity, which is driving prices higher. Apart from the central bank announcements this week, it's pretty thin pickings on both the economic and corporate fronts. In part, that's because it's Thanksgiving week, with the US shut on Thursday, followed by the traditional start to the holiday retail season with Black Friday the day after.
Please be aware the value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information does not constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Investors should also note that the views expressed may longer be current and may have already been acted upon. Reference to specific securities should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities and is included for the purposes of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you are unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor. This podcast may not be reproduced or circulated without prior permission. It is meant for UK residents and does not constitute an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction in which it may be unlawful to make such an offer or solicitation. No statements or representations made in this podcast are legally binding on Fidelity or the recipient. Issued by Financial Administration Services Limited, authorised and regulated in the UK by the Financial Conduct Authority. Fidelity, Fidelity International, the Fidelity International logo and F symbol are trademarks of FIL Limited.